Going to be reading from Luke 10. This passage begins by saying the 72. This is referring to 72 followers of Jesus, disciples, other disciples, not just the 12, but 72 that Jesus sent out to minister in towns and villages and all over the country of they were in. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven." Godly blessings to you as you come and minister.
Good morning. And it is a joy to be here. Thank you for inviting me to speak. And yes, my family is with me this morning, my wife Angie and daughter Caitlin and son Ethan. So it's just a great opportunity for us to be here. It has been a long time. It was in the pre-COVID world that we were last here. I'm still the lead pastor at Lititz Mennonite, so I'm often tied up on Sunday mornings, and any opportunity I have to visit a church in the district is very much a welcome opportunity just to join with other brothers and sisters and to worship the Lord together. Well, the title this morning, as already been said, is An Unexpected Journey. And I'm sure we can think of that in many different ways. COVID has been an unexpected journey. And so we are struggling through that and continuing to struggle through that. And so there's a lot that has happened and a lot of things that have kind of, you know, turned the world inside out for us. But this morning, I'm hoping, in reflecting on this title of Unexpected Journey, to paint a different kind of picture of what God is doing that is different from the downside of COVID. But first, let's look at Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus calls 72 disciples and sends them out to the surrounding towns and villages. And they're commissioned to go and preach the good news of the kingdom of God having being near, as well as to heal the sick, cast out demons. They're to receive hospitality from those who offer it. But Jesus also gives instructions on how to respond if they are rejected. They are being sent on an unexpected journey. They're being told to go, but what will they encounter? What will be like? What will happen? You know, will people receive them? Will they be welcomed or will they be persecuted? And they don't know. And when they come back and report to Jesus what has happened, they're filled with joy. And they're like, "Hey, you know, even the demons, you know, listen to us and obey us in your name." You know, there is an unexpectedness in this journey and what they encounter. And what we see in Luke chapter 10 is an image of what the church is to be about. That we are to be a church that is on mission, a church that is being sent, continuously sent. And sometimes, you know, we lose that focus. We lose that purpose that God has created us for, the purpose that God has brought the church into existence for. We sometimes lose that purpose and that mission, and we kind of get into our ruts. You know, we get into our status quo, and we just kind of, you know, we meet on Sundays and we worship the Lord and it's good and we encounter the Spirit of God, but we lose that sense of movement. And I believe God is calling us, calling the church back to this mission of being sent. And what we see in Luke chapter 10, this mission of being sent into the world to make disciples of Jesus, to see people changed and transformed by the power of the Spirit, to see and be agents of reconciliation through whom God is reconciling all things to the Father by the cross of Christ that we read in Colossians 1. We are to be partners and ministers in that. And so we are to be engaged in this mission of being sent. But that means going on an unexpected journey, because we don't know where the Spirit of God may take us. We don't know what we may encounter. For those of you who may be Lord of the Rings fans or fans of The Hobbit, I don't know if we have any here, but I see one enthusiastic supporter. I'm a big fan. The Unexpected Journey, of course, is the title of The Hobbit. And I'm referencing now in my mind the movie more than the book, but I've seen the movies and read the books. In The Hobbit, we find The Hobbit is this person who is part of a group of people. They build their homes into the side of a hill, and so he has this, Bilbo Baggins has his home inside this hill, and he's on the edge of town, and we see him in a very beautiful home with all the material comforts that he could want. He has a cupboard full of food. He has his crafts. He has furniture that has sentimental value because it has history and tradition, and he's all by himself. The home has everything, and yet it feels empty. Until Gandalf the Wizard comes and instigates this meeting of dwarves at Bilbo's home. And so these dwarves turn Bilbo's home into a place of ruckus hospitality. They have a banquet, you could say, and it's a banquet filled with food and laughter and storytelling, and it's not a banquet of that's very orderly. I mean, food, they like to throw food at each other. So you can imagine what this is like. But Bilbo's home has been transformed into something that's reminiscent of just a big party. And he doesn't like it. And these dwarves are going on an adventure to take back their kingdom. And Bilbo's invited to join, and he says no. In the morning, they're gone. And Bilbo wakes up, his house is clean. It's orderly, it's organized, and it's empty. And so he realizes he is missing something, and he decides to run after them and go on an unexpected journey. Because he feels like there's something more in life. There's something deeper in life, and we are called to something more. We're called to something beyond ourselves. And that's part of the unexpected journey, is this calling to move beyond ourselves into what God has called us to. But that means our world can be turned upside down, and our home can go from being something that's nice and orderly to a ruckus banquet filled with joy and laughter, but it messes everything up. And that's the unexpected journey. And I want to use that to frame my own journey in becoming bishop, as well as what is happening in the conference, and use this as an opportunity to share with you what God is doing in the broader conference and how we connect with that. For me, 4 years ago, or somewhere around 4 years ago, I was part of the search team to look for the next bishop for what was then the Lititz, Mellinger, and Lancaster districts. And so as we're looking, God began to speak, and I began to feel that calling. And of course, at first, I felt like that was crazy. Who am I to be a bishop? And after testing with several people, presented my name to the search team. And in presenting my name, feeling that sense of passion and draw, that there was just something that was stirring within me. And I thought, God is calling me to be a bishop in order to work with the churches in these districts, to be missionally sent, to work at how we can be sent into mission. Because I feel that's an important part of being a bishop. And so I thought, I can do that. But the bishop board, and I'm sure some of us here have perceptions as to what a group of bishops is like, especially when they're together, you know. We have history, you know. A lot of churches have a pretty negative history of bishops, and I hear more and more stories about that, of, you know, abuse of power and authority, you could say, and of just negative experiences. And so I'm like, I'll just keep my head down and I'll just work with the churches in the district. Little did I know, God was sending me on an unexpected journey and what I would encounter. That first year being bishop, my world was kind of turned inside out. And I think it was for Joe as well, because we would talk about, why do these bishops spend an hour and a half in worship before we get to the meeting? Because, yes, worship is good. We get that. We're not like saying, oh, bad worship. But, you know, let's get to the meeting and get it over with and go home, you know? But they're spending an hour and a half, you know, and doing this worship thing. And it wasn't until after several meetings in which we had a bishop meeting and we were discussing some very difficult issues, and they said we need to spend time in worship and hearing from the Spirit as we work through this, that all of a sudden it clicked for me as I encountered the work of the Spirit in my life and with the bishops at the table I was sitting with and in that whole room as God worked with us as we were working through a very challenging situation. I'm like, oh, that's why we worship before this meeting begins. And so I began to encounter that what I assumed and reality were two different things. What I assumed about bishops being crusty old white guys, no offense, and the reality was totally different. And that God was moving in this conference. God was moving among this group of leaders. Soon after Joe and I became bishops, the conference came out with a new mission statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it. It's to be a Spirit-led movement. A Spirit-led movement in which we are multiplying disciples. Everyone is being a missionary, and we are multiplying churches. And I thought, wow. I mean, why did God call me to be a bishop? Remember I said I felt this calling to work with the churches to be missionally sent. And here the very mission of this conference is to be a Spirit-led movement in which we are multiplying disciples and multiplying churches. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is an unexpected journey. God is doing something new. But that means there is a lot of challenges, a lot of things that are happening. And the conference that I encountered is already engaged in this work of multiplication. We have the Shalom Network, which is the former Spanish Council. They now call themselves the Shalom Council or Shalom Network. And lo and behold, we have churches through the work of Shalom, not just in the United States. There are churches in Mexico, Central America, Nicaragua, and recently we received 6 congregations in Cuba. So we, Lancaster Conference, is now in Cuba. That's crazy. I mean, that is just unexpected. That we would be part of a conference, that I would be a bishop in a conference in which we had churches in these places. But it's not just Shalom. It's also Omar Guzman, who is part of this Garifuna Church network. And they are multiplying churches among the Garifuna people. It is Bishop Twin, who's working with Vietnamese people and starting churches among Vietnamese people in different locations, as well as working with the Vietnamese church in Vietnam. And that church is growing rapidly. It is in our own district with the Nepali people. Manuka Tamang, who's the pastor at River's Edge, Bhutanese Nepali people. I don't know if she has spoken here. I know we're trying to get her into different churches, but she is pastor in our district and is called to reach out to Buddhist people in Lancaster City. And so we are now sending her as an EMM worker who is part of our district to reach out to people. But this Nepali church that she pastors, and I would say it's very rare to find a female pastor among Nepali people, so I take it a very special privilege and honor to have Manuka as one of our pastors. But her church is not the only Nepali church in our conference. There are several Nepali churches. God is doing something amazing among us. This is an unexpected journey. And what I began to encounter and what God is doing around us. Somewhere around 40% of the Lancaster Conference congregation's English is a second language. And in fact, you could more than likely, Lancaster Conference is the most racially, ethnically diverse Anabaptist group in North America. Possibly the most, but I'm not sure. I don't have the numbers for that, but at least one of the most. This is an unexpected journey, but it's not one without its challenges. If you know the story of The Hobbit with Bilbo Baggins, he sets out on this journey, and in the movie they show him at the beginning of the journey, he's riding this horse and he's beginning to have allergies, and he's like, oh, I forgot my handkerchiefs. And so one of the dwarves rips a piece of his shirt off and throws it at him and says, you know, use this. And Gandalf says, where you're going, you won't, you know, you'll have to leave handkerchiefs and other things behind because you're going into the wild. You're going into a dangerous place. Several times he almost loses his life. He faces all kinds of odds and struggles. But at the end of the day, it was worth it because there was a vision, there was a purpose that his life was part of. And it's the same for us. When we think about the Jesus sending out the 72 disciples, they did not know what they would encounter. And I'm sure it was not easy. It was not all just gravy. It was not just, you know, something that was familiar. They were stepping into the unknown in what Jesus was sending them into. And when they return and report that even the demons submit to them in Jesus' name, Jesus reminds them, yes, but the more important thing is that your name is written in the book of life. What is our identity? And sometimes we can lose our identity as we face the challenges of life, we face the challenges of church. We can lose our sense of identity and as we kind of stand still. But we can also lose our identity as we reach out and go on the unexpected journey. We have to be reminded, who are we? That we are children of God. We're children of God who have been called to a mission and to a purpose. And called to step out and go on that unexpected journey. But and as we go on that unexpected journey, to know and be aware of that God goes with us, that Christ is in our midst. The Spirit of God is the one who is leading us. And to not lose sense, lose our sense, our vision, our focus on what and who we are in our identity in Christ as we are on this journey. I serve on the conference executive committee, which is the board for the conference. And as we've been working at this mission statement, as well as grappling with the growing diversity of the conference, we've made several conscious choices in how we are going to grow together. First of all, the other year with George Floyd's murder, Keith Weaver, the moderator of the conference, and several other bishops reached out to African American leaders in the conference, including Al Motley and Hyacinth Stevens, who serve on the bishop board. And it was a challenge because are we just going to talk or are we going to do something? And God was calling us to go further in this unexpected journey. I mean, these things are things we could not have imagined beforehand as to where God was going to take us and where God was going to lead. And so we decided to make a very conscious effort to bring that diverse voice to the table. And to be very cognizant of our racial diversity. So one of the things we did is every bishop had to go through an intercultural assessment to assess their capacity to be intercultural and to embrace cultural diversity. Numbers didn't come out the way a lot of people had hoped, not scoring quite as high as they thought they would have, but that's okay. Because this is a journey. And so each of us has a growth plan and how we can grow in our capacity to be more intercultural and embrace a broader cultural diversity. That's part of the journey. The other intentional thing we did is to hire Carl McKinney to be on staff and to address racial concerns across the conference. So he sits in on meetings and he can call us out if we're becoming, you know, too white or too Swiss German and not hearing other voices that are at the table. But even more than that is seeing the diversity of the bishops. Now, we need to move away from just being a Lancaster-centered Swiss-German conference when over 40% of our churches, English is a second language. And we need to embrace that diversity at all levels. And so it is amazing to see what God is doing. I could not have dreamed of that 4 years ago when I stepped into that bishop role. If you would have told me, Rodney, you're stepping into a conference that's extremely diverse and it's doing all of these things, it's going to move into this mission and everything, I've been like, yeah, right. I don't believe you. I know what they're like. But that journey is one in which we encounter these unexpected things, and God is able to change us and to transform us to become something new. One final sign of this unexpected journey is the global connections that we have through Lancaster Conference. About 2 years ago, right before COVID, a group of bishops, including myself, had the opportunity to travel to Ethiopia and to connect with the Messerit Christos Church, which is the largest Mennonite church in the world. And so we had this privilege of going to a gathering of regional leaders. They divide their denomination to these regional groups, kind of like what we call districts. Only each region has full-time staff and an office building. I mean, it's very heavily structured. But, when that region grows to a certain point in so many churches, they split it into two regions. And so we arrived in Ethiopia. There were 38 regional offices. When we left, there were 40. Because they're having tremendous growth. And so we asked them, we said, well, how many churches are there in the Messerit Christos Church? Well, they didn't know. They're growing so fast, they have no idea. So when all these regional leaders gather together, they have to do accounts. You know, well, how many churches do you have in your region, and how many church plants do you have? And I forget how many churches they said they have, but they have 1,000 church plants. 1,000 church plants across Ethiopia, now moving into Somalia and Eritrea and Sudan, and even with a vision to go into other places, including coming here to the U.S. and starting churches here. And so we're in conversation with them as a conference, and I'm like, this is amazing. It's absolutely amazing as to what God is doing, and that these kinds of partnerships could happen. Again, 4 years ago, if you would have told me, Rodney, this is what is happening and this is what you're going to experience, I would have been like, I don't think so. It's been hard for me to wrap my mind around, and I still find it difficult to wrap my mind around what God is doing. And yet, the Spirit of God is at work. Even as we face our challenges, COVID has not been a friend to anybody. COVID has not been a friend to any church. And so we're struggling. Many churches are struggling with COVID. How do we, you know, it has taken its toll, taken its effect. We're struggling with multiple ways. We know that being very intentional at being a diverse conference will not sit well with some. We know that there are many challenges and obstacles ahead. And yet, if we are faithful and moving in the Spirit of God and walking where Christ is calling us, I think we will find that unexpected journey to be a journey of peace, a journey of joy, a journey that sometimes even turns into a ruckus party, sitting around the banquet table of food. And Christ is in the center of that, in that fellowship, in that communion that we have. Whitmer Heights, you are part of that journey. The question is, how? How is God calling you to be part of that journey? As we're part of a district, the Conestoga River District, I believe God is calling this district into a journey. And we're seeing new things. I already mentioned Manuka, but we're seeing other things. We're seeing stirrings of the Spirit and things that God wants to do. There's also challenges. There's also struggles. This coming Saturday, we're hosting a Fresh Expressions event, and I think you have several people from here that are attending, and this is to look at how our churches can be sent to those who won't come to church on a Sunday morning. What is the Spirit of God saying to us? How is God moving us to be a church that is on mission, a church that is being sent, just as Jesus sent the 72 to go out into the surrounding towns and villages and to tell the people the good news that people are so longing to hear, the good news that the kingdom of God is near, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to experience hospitality with others, so that the table of God grows and reaches those who are searching. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you, for you are good. And even as we are in the midst of the struggles and challenges of a COVID world, as we're in the midst of the struggles and challenges that we face in society, you are good. You are present in the midst, calling, beckoning us to come and to go. To come and go on a journey of joyful experiences, a journey that's a struggle, and yet you're present with us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to Whitmer Heights. I pray that you continue to pour out your blessing, your Spirit upon this awesome congregation. Provide for them all that they need to thrive. Grant them all that they need to grow, to be your people, children of God, to be sent in the mission that you have called them to. Equip them with all that they need to care for one another, to love each other, and to continue to strive in praying for peace as they light this lamp every Sunday. To be agents of transformation in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.